Chapter 9, Self-Created Suffering and Change.
What type of future will come about to a large extent lies within your own hands in the present. It will be determined by the kind of initiatives that we take now.
We have discussed the importance of accepting suffering as a natural fact of human existence and facing our problems directly and authentically. While some kinds of suffering are inevitable, others are self-created. With growing technology, the general level of physical comfort has improved for many in Western society. This has caused a critical shift in perception. As suffering becomes less visible, it is no longer seen as part of the fundamental nature of human beings, but rather as an anomaly, a sign that something has gone terribly wrong, a sign of the failure of some system, an infringement on our guaranteed right to happiness. This kind of thinking poses hidden dangers. If we think of suffering as something unnatural, something that we shouldn't be experiencing, then it's not much of a leap to begin to look for someone to blame for our suffering. If I'm unhappy, then I must be the victim of someone or something, an idea that is all too common in the West. The victimizer may be the government, the educational system, abusive partners, a dysfunctional family, the other gender, or our uncaring mate. Or we may turn blame inward. There's something wrong with me. I'm the victim of disease, of defective genes, perhaps. By continuing to focus on assigning blame and maintaining a victim stance, we perpetuate our suffering and our related feelings of anger, frustration, and resentment. This is one way that we can create our own suffering, but we add to our own suffering in other ways also. All too often, for example, we perpetuate pain, keep it alive, by replaying our hurts over and over in our minds, elaborating and magnifying our injustices in the process.
We can see that there are many ways in which we actively contribute to our own experiences of mental unrest and suffering. Although in general, mental and emotional afflictions themselves can come naturally, often it is our own reinforcement of those negative emotions that make them so much worse. For instance, when we have anger or hatred towards a person and we keep on thinking about it over and over, then it feeds the hatred. It makes it very powerful and intense. We also often add to our pain and suffering by being very overly sensitive, overreacting to minor things, and sometimes taking things too personally. So I think that to a large extent, whether or not you suffer depends on how you respond to a given situation. For example, let's say that you find out that someone is speaking badly of you behind your back. If you react to this knowledge that someone is speaking badly of you, this negativity, with a feeling of hurt or anger, then you yourself destroy your own peace of mind. Your pain is your own personal creation. On the other hand, if you can refrain from reacting in a negative way, let the slander pass by you as if it were silent wind passing behind your ears, you would protect yourself from that feeling of hurt and feeling of agony. So, although you may not always be able to avoid difficult situations, you can modify the extent to which you suffer by how you choose to respond to the situation.
Therapists sometimes call the process described by the Dalai Lama personalizing our pain, the tendency to narrow our psychological field of vision by interpreting or misinterpreting everything that occurs in terms of its impact on us. When this kind of thinking becomes a pervasive pattern and extends to include every comment made by our family or friends, or even events in society at large, it can become a significant source of our misery. As Jacques Lusseron, a survivor of the Buchenwald concentration camp, wrote in later recounting his experiences in the camps, "Unhappiness, I saw then, comes to each of us because we think ourselves at the center of the universe, because we have the miserable conviction that we alone suffer to the point of unbearable intensity. As we've discussed, problems invariably arise in our daily life, but problems do not automatically cause suffering. If we directly address a problem and focus our energies on finding a solution, for instance, the problem can be transformed into a challenge. If we throw into the mix, however, a feeling that our problem is unfair, we add an additional ingredient that can become a powerful fuel in creating mental and emotional suffering. The Dalai Lama spoke about how to deal with the problem of unfairness.
There may be a variety of ways that one might deal with the feeling that one's suffering is unfair. We've already spoken of the importance of accepting suffering as a natural fact of existence. Tibetans, or those of a Buddhist background, may be able to better accept the reality of difficult situations by attributing it to karma, to negative actions committed in either this or a previous life. For those in the West who believe in the idea of a creator, of God, they may accept difficult situations easier by viewing them as part of God's creation or plan. They may be helped by the faith that even though the situation appears very negative, God is all-powerful and very merciful, and there may be some meaning behind the situation that they may be unaware of. For those with no religious beliefs, perhaps a practical scientific approach could help. A kind of examination of the situation without much emotional involvement. A rational objective analysis of difficult or problematic situations can be quite important, because with this approach, you'll often discover that behind the scenes there may be other factors at play. For instance, if you feel that you're being treated unfairly by your boss at work, perhaps he may be annoyed by something else, an argument with his wife that morning or something, and his behavior may have nothing to do with you personally, may not be specifically directed at you. Of course, one must still face whatever the situation may be, but at least with this approach, one may not have the additional anxiety that would come along with it. Often, our normal tendency is to try to blame our problems on others, on external factors. Furthermore, we tend to look for one single cause and then try to exonerate ourselves from the responsibility. It seems that whenever there are intense emotions involved, there tends to be a disparity between how things appear and how they really are. This practice involves looking at things in a holistic way, realizing that there are many events contributing to a situation. So, for instance, in general, if we carefully examine any situation in a very unbiased and honest way, we may realize that to a large extent, we are also responsible for the unfolding of events.
Through practices such as these, such as objectively analyzing our own contribution to problems, which we initially blame completely on others, one can begin to reduce the feeling of unfairness that is one of the most common sources of self-created suffering. In investigating the ways in which we contribute to our own experience of suffering, we conclude with one of the primary causes, resistance to change. In discussing this important topic, the Dalai Lama described the ever-changing nature of life.
It's extremely important to investigate the causes or origins of suffering, how it arises. One must begin that process by appreciating the impermanent, transient nature of our existence. All things, events, and phenomena are dynamic, changing every moment. Nothing remains static. Meditation on one's blood circulation could serve to reinforce this idea. The blood is constantly flowing, moving. It never stands still. This momentarily changing nature phenomena is like a built-in mechanism. And since it is the nature of all phenomena to change every moment, this indicates to us that all things lack the ability to endure, lack the ability to remain the same. And since all things are subject to change, nothing exists in a permanent condition, nothing is able to remain the same under its own independent power. Thus, all things are under the power or influence of other factors. So, at any given moment, no matter how pleasant or pleasurable your experience may be, it will not last. This becomes the basis of a category of suffering known in Buddhism as the suffering of change.
The concept of impermanence plays a central role in Buddhist thought. As the Dalai Lama has noted, it serves to remind us that life is tenuous and our time must be used to one's best advantage. On a deeper level, the contemplation of the more subtle aspects of impermanence, the impermanent nature of all phenomena, begins the Buddhist practitioner's quest to understand the true nature of reality, and through this understanding, dispel the ignorance that is the ultimate source of our suffering. But whether one looks at life from a Buddhist perspective or a Western perspective, the fact remains that life is change. And to the degree that we refuse to accept this fact and resist the natural changes of life, trying desperately to hold on to the past, for example, we will continue to perpetuate our own suffering.